A certificate of death from the pox doctor for the late mystery man, and rest assured we'll try to track down his murderer. A chitty from Mossy about the ointment he put on Muffer's feet. Oh, and a receipt for 6 bottles of ginger beer. He put a hand on Ferret's shoulder and gently walked him round into the next cellar, where Todsey and Muffer were sitting gagged, bound, and livid with rage. On a table nearby was a box containing 6 flagons of ginger beer. The corks were heavily wired down. Ferret stared at Vimes, who inserted a finger in his mouth, blew up his cheeks, and flicked out the finger with a loud pop. Waddy hissed between his teeth. Fred Colon opened his mouth, but Vimes clamped his hand over it. "No, don't," he said. "Funny thing, Gerald, but Fred here just screams out loud at times for no reason at all." "You tricked me," Ferret wailed. Vimes patted him on the shoulder. "Tricked?" he growled. "How so, Gerald?" "You made me think you were doing a ginger beer trick."
"Ginger beer trick?" said Vimes, his brow wrinkling. "What's that?"
"You know. You brought the stuff down here."
"We don't drink alcohol on duty, Gerald," said Vimes severely. "What's wrong with a little ginger beer?" "We don't know any tricks with the stuff, Gerald. What tricks do you know? Seen any good tricks lately, Gerald? Do tell."
At last it dawned on Ferret that he should stop talking. It was about 30 minutes too late. The expressions on what could be seen of the faces of Todsey and Muffer suggested that they wanted a very personal word with him.
"I demand protective custody," he managed.
"Just when I'm letting you go, Gerald," said Vimes. "As you said in your statement, what was it, Fred? Something about just obeying orders? All that stuff about mixing with the mobs and throwing things at coppers and soldiers? You didn't want to do that, I know. You didn't like being round in Cable Street watching people being beaten up and being told what to confess to, because it's plain to me that you're not that sort. You're small fry. I understand that. I say we'll call it quits. How about you?"
"Please, I'll tell you all I know," Ferret squeaked.
"You mean you haven't?"
Vimes roared. He spun around and grabbed a bottle.
"Yes! No! I mean, if I sit quiet, I'm sure I'll remember some more."
Vimes held his gaze for a moment and then dropped the bottle back in the crate. "All right," he said. "It'll be $1 a day, meals extra."
"Right you are, sir."
Vimes watched Ferret scuttle back into his cell and shut the door behind him. Then he turned to Fred and Waddy.
"Go and wake up Marilyn," he said. "Let's deliver the other three."
The rain was falling steadily and a thin mist filled Cable Street. The wagon came out of nowhere. Fred had urged Marilyn into something approaching a canter down the street, and when the horse came round the corner she was trying to keep ahead of the heavy, rumbling cart behind. As the hurry-up wagon passed the station, the rear door was flung open and 2 bodies were tumbled out onto the wet cobbles. The guards rushed forward. 1 or 2 of them fired after the retreating cart, but the arrows clattered harmlessly off the back iron strips. The other men approached the tied-up bodies with some care. There were groans, punctuated by swear words, and, pinned to one man, some paperwork. They read the note. They did not laugh. Vimes unharnessed the old horse, rubbed her down, and checked on her feed. Perhaps it was his imagination, but the feed bin seemed fuller than 2 days ago. Guilty consciences were at work, maybe. Then he walked out into the cool night air. The lights were on in the watch house. It was a beacon, now that the street lamps had been doused. Beyond the walls of the yard, the real night had closed in, the old night with its tendrils of fog and crawling shadows. He relaxed and wore it like an overcoat. A shadow near the gate was deeper than it ought to be. He felt for his cigar case again, cursed, and pulled a cigar out of his shirt sleeve. He cupped his hands when he lit it, but kept his eyes tightly shut to hold the night vision. Then he looked up and blew a smoke ring. Yes, everyone thought black didn't show up at night. They were wrong. He walked over to shut the gate and then pulled out his sword in one fluid movement. Sadie raised her head, revealing a pale oval of a face in the depths of her bonnet.
"Good morning, kind sir," she said.
"Good morning, Sadie," said Vimes wearily. "To what do I owe this pleasure?"
"Madam wants to see you, kind sir."
"If you mean Rosie, I've been a bit busy." Dotsy's handbag hit him on the back of the head.
"Madam doesn't like waiting, dearie,"
were the last words he heard before night closed in all the way. The aunts were experts, probably not even